a sanctuary, pure and holy, bright and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a sanctuary for you. Sing it unto him now. Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living with you, sanctuary for you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody out tonight. If you'd like to turn in your scripture, turn to Daniel 9. We'll begin reading about verse 20 through 24, where we've been reading. This will be the third service now on what we've been speaking on the 70 weeks of Daniel. And we're just trying to lay a background, you know, and then move up real slow into the message. So it's good to see you. Good to see Sister Jones back there with us. You know, and just remember now on the 18th, now trying to keep these announcements before you, there is a written bulletin board downstairs to make sure that you read it. On the 18th, we'll be having our Christmas time together. The youth will be putting on a program that morning, and then we'll be having, lunch together and all. It won't be an afternoon service because we'll be taking our time and, you know, just fellowshipping together and having a good time around the Word of the Lord. And just remember that. And then there won't be any services here on the 25th, because that would be on Sunday, and everybody would be wanting to be with their families and everything and all for that period of time. But then on the Watch Night service, remember it will be on the 31st. Brother Richard Wilson will be here with us, the Lord willing, speaking for us. And I think they have the announcements like finger food and stuff to bring, you know, before the service a little bit, you know. We always start at 8 o'clock. If you want to get here about 7, they generally, some of us here, you know, eating a little bit and fellowshipping in time and all. And then afterwards, that way we can kind of eat together. But then we're going to have one service on January the 1st. So that'll be about 11 o'clock. And that'll give you time to from the Saturday night service to the Sunday morning service. And then we'll have a dinner afterward for all of the people that have come in to fellowship with us, and Brother Wilson and all of his people are coming down. The biggest portion of them are coming. Also, remember now, there is an announcement on the board that if you want to keep somebody in your home for this period of time, because it'd be hard coming up, driving back home 2 or 3 in the morning or something, and then having to come back. So we're trying to make arrangements to where that those from Atlanta area and out of town and things can stay with somebody. So, you know, there's a bulletin board downstairs or a note for you to write down if you want to keep somebody. And then there's also a place there for anybody that wants to be kept. So, you know, that way you can kind of look on it and say, oh, I'll take this one out. And then we'll mark it off, and everything will be, you know, set to where that everybody can be up here, and it won't be no problem going back home and coming back and everything, because that way you won't be, you know, be traveling that much. So just keep that in mind. All right. And also, as I said, I'd always tell you, because we'll be reading some out of the 70 weeks of Daniel, and there's about 3 books out on that, and as far as I found, the paragraphs are the same, but the page numbers are not the same. I have 2, I know for certain, that the page numbers, you can't go by the page numbers, but you can go by the paragraph numbers. All I've found so far compares to what we'll be reading from, you know, and I'll try to instruct you in paragraph number, like paragraph 20, you know, Sixfold Purpose or Paragraph 20, Gabriel's Instructions. That way you'll know which book it's in, and also the ones that are on tape and things or listening on the internet will be able to follow along. And Brother Joseph, he's doing such a wonderful job. He's showing me there today. He just putting the whole message up. You know, I mean, they, on the internet, they can just pull the whole message of Gabriel's Instructions, and then he just tells you which paragraph for them to read, and they can pull the whole thing up and just, you know, be able to search it. And we certainly appreciate that. Richard and Joseph are doing a wonderful job of getting those things fixed, and they're taking their time back there a lot of times during services, and I want them to hurry up and get caught up where they can get back out here. But they're back there sometimes, you know, running tapes, I mean the CDs and the MP3s, and we're getting a lot of response from around the world. So that's the purpose of it, and that's what we want, you know, is wonderful, wonderful things, you know. So just keep that in mind. Daniel 9. Right. Now, we're not going to have Bible study this Saturday, nor won't have it next Saturday, because this Saturday, Wade and June's going to be gone, and we could go ahead and have it, but we just decided not to. And then next Saturday, you know, we will, Richard and I will be gone up into Kentucky and to Brother Byler's, so, you know, they're hunting Brother Pewitt and them. So that we just won't have a Bible study for the month of December. Is that all right? And then we'll start back up in January. So just remember these things. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for all things. And we know that you give them to us so freely. It don't cost us anything. You paid the price on Calvary. Every debt, everything is already paid, scratched off, and X'd out, and totally whited out until it doesn't even exist upon the papers anymore of the things that the devil had against us. But we thank you that you've revealed that unto us and shown us in this day where we're living and where we're walking. Father, we ask you now to just guide each one, that your love would be there, that we could see you living among us. Forgive our sins and lead us, Lord, as we try to speak on these things that you have given unto our hands. Lord, we commit it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel 9, verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mount of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee that thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgressions and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. You may be seated, Lord, at his blessings to the reading of the word. Now, we took Sunday talking on the Gabriel's, you know, visit to Daniel, all right, and his instructions to him. Now, I want to make sure that you understand what I'm trying to do, and I don't mean this wrong, I mean it to be truthful. Brother Branham said in the book, if you're studying, you're supposed to have brought your books with you and been reading on it, and I've asked you to read the instructions to Daniel and then the sixfold purpose. The Lord willing, we'll pick up Sunday morning maybe on the sixfold purpose, you know, trying to get each purpose part of it to understand. But most everybody's, I've always, as I've said, you know, and I taught this in 1974 and I still believe it now, that most everybody, all they want to talk about on the 70 weeks of Daniel is whether there's 3.5 or 7. And that's the argument among the people of the message, you know, and it's pretty well just split a lot of people, you know, and they argue about this and they argue about this and everything else. And, you know, it's just turned out to be an argument instead of trying to see what the prophet was actually saying. You know, what he was trying to get us to see. Because he was the one that said it. I didn't. You know, people blame me for finding the quote. You know, and I'm serious about it. They blame me for finding where the prophet said, if you don't understand Daniel 70 weeks, he said, you cannot understand the seals. Now, I didn't say that. He was the one that said that. But everybody knows what the seals are and the thing, but knows nothing about Daniel 70 weeks. And that's, you know, that just makes you wonder. You know, people will quote Brother Branham, but do they really understand? No. And as I've told you Sunday, and I'll keep saying this over and over, the 70 weeks of Daniel is to Israel. It is not to the Gentiles, it is to the Jews, to Israel. Right? And being to Israel, it has nothing to do with us. But it only shows where we are. And we've been studying now for quite a while there on the mortal to immortality in the series trying to study about recognizing your day and its message and knowing who you are and where you are and the time you're living on earth. And we believe we're in the end time. So if we believe we're in the end time, God is fixing to turn back from the Gentiles to the Jews, you know. And as the Jews brought the gospel to the Gentiles will carry the gospel back to the Jews. Now, not that we'll go over there, because the prophet said that would never take place. And a big man in the message one time said, well, what it'll be, he said, it'll be a Gentile prophet and a Gentile bride going to Israel. That's the two witnesses. Well, I immediately gave him a quote where the prophet said it would be two Jews. Of course, that didn't do any good. He kept his own thoughts until the day he died. That he would be the one that would lead the bride through Israel. See, and I knew that's what he was saying, and that's the reason I quoted Brother Branham where he said that the Jews won't accept nothing but the Jews. See, that's why Brother Branham couldn't go. He couldn't go over there, see, because it's going to be a Jew that Israel will accept. And that way, then we can depend upon that. You say, well, but Brother Dale, Elijah's a Gentile. Well, you go argue with Brother Branham. He said it would be two Jews that would go to Israel. You can, you know, do what you want to. That's the reason that I'm trying to do this, and I wrote it in my notes to make sure. See, Gabriel believed what, Daniel believed what Gabriel said. Now, and he was depending upon, because that's what he said, I understood by books. Now, he believed what Gabriel was speaking to him about. But he based it on what Jeremiah had said. Daniel believed what Jeremiah said. Now listen to what I'm saying to see if you'd believe it. Daniel believed what Jeremiah said over what Gabriel was saying. Now you're going to get sticky there, aren't you? Just listen to what I'm saying. He placed everything upon the previous prophet. Had Gabriel said anything contrary to Jeremiah, Daniel would have known immediately that he was not the angel of the Lord. So his dependence was upon the fact of the message that Jeremiah had preached. See, when Gabriel came, he put all that he knowed right back upon that to bring it down to Daniel for him to be able to understand. Because go read the entire book of Daniel and see if he hadn't already seen Gabriel in a vision. But now he's got a personal contact. I told you, I said this, the reason that we're studying it is because to look at them and see exactly where we are. And to see that exactly the way God dealt with Israel, God's dealing with you and I. And to look back there, you remember what we was bringing out? Here comes Christ. Michael has to fight with the prince there to where Gabriel can come on down to speak to Daniel. Right? And Michael is Christ. Right? So Christ had to come on the scene and then deliver or make the way that Gabriel could come down. Alright? Now, isn't it odd that in the last days, that this prophet of God that we talk about in the last days and claim to believe, that an angel came to him, but yet he had already preached Christ? Christ had already come to the prophet in a new birth. Christ had already come to the prophet in bringing him forth as a prophet to vindicate him before the world. Right? But he couldn't understand. So when he did, you know, during his early ministry, then the angel came to Brother Branham. And that was the angel that would always bring the message. Brother Branham said in the 70 weeks of Daniel there, he said, now, Gabriel always come to the Jews. Now, he never named the one that come to him. He didn't put a name on him because, you know, it's what he said. People say, well, what's his name? Oh, if I'd have been you, Brother Branham, I'd ask his name. He said, in his presence, you don't say nothing. Now, that's how serious it is. You think, well, I'd find out what his name is. But what good would it do if you know what his name is? What good would it do to you? They're arguing over where Brother Branham come to John on Patmos. Where would that put us in the rapture if that was Brother Branham that come to John there on Patmos? What would that do? But see, to find out what that one come to John on Patmos to deliver is what I want to know. Because now listen to my point of what I'm trying to get at. Daniel knew by books that he had already been there 68 years. Right. Now, you knew that by counting. I come down here, it was so-and-so we got here. He knowed exactly because he was just a boy, the prophet said, when he came down, but said he was a prophet of God. He knew 68 years was finished. He knew, according to Jeremiah, there was two more years. Now, do you think Daniel was trying to figure out how did you multiply and you get 68 and you put two with it to make 70? You know, you understand what I'm saying? Do you think that was the mystery that Gabriel come to explain to Daniel? How did you take 68 and add two and that makes 70? You say, Brother Dale, you're silly. That's exactly what I'm trying to expose, is silly ideas. There's a whole lot more involved if you read. Gabriel knew there was only 2 years. Daniel knew there was only 2 years. But that wasn't the reason that Gabriel came. Daniel had been in prayer and calling out for the people and their sin and wanting to know when they was going out. Did you read what the prophet said? Isn't that the way he said it? He said, Gabriel wanted to know when he's going out. And he said, we need to know when we're going out here where we can get ready. Because Daniel wanted to know exactly when he's going out where he could be ready to go. Well, you know, 68 plus 2, it's 2 more years. Well, see, that's all we think about. See, he wanted to know what God was going to do. And he wanted something real. Not to just walk out of Babylon. He wanted to know the will of the Lord. He wanted to know how or what to do to get ready to go. That's what the prophet said on paragraph 39 of the sixfold purpose. He says, finding out when we're going out of here and when we can get ready. But that's just like everybody was back there in the 70s. Oh, rapture's going to come in 77. That's thus saith the Lord. I've heard sermons over and over and over about that. Hadn't you? Some of your older ones. But you know, we evidently didn't make it or something went wrong because we're still here. Oh, Brother Dale, what we done, we raised up into a spiritual atmosphere. Why don't you get your wings, go out on the hill and sit down? You know what I'm talking about. But see, church, it's not to find out the day, because the prophet said no man knows the day nor the hour. But he said it didn't say we couldn't know the week or the year. Now that's what your prophet had to say. But see, what good would it do for us to know when we're going out if we're not ready to go? Well, what it is now, if I know I'm going out week after next, I'll goof off for another week. Now, is that what you think Daniel was trying to find out? He knowed in 2 years he's going out if he believed Jeremiah. He knew exactly that he was going out in 2 years. But he wanted to know how or what would take place and get ready. You and I need to know where we need to be. The prophet said being at the wrong ranks in the time of the rapture would be no excuse. And I've expressed over and over to you, what is wrong ranks in the military? It ain't a whole step out, because you're in line with the rest of them. You're just one step behind where you ought to be. But when you're half a step out, it's when it shows up, right? Because your foot's going up when the other one's going down, it'll show up, and the man on the side will call you out of it. But listen, church, what did the prophet say? What was the one thing we were talking about that he said to get rid of what? What did we read the other day about getting rid of? Let's just read it. Look at Gabriel's instruction to Daniel, paragraph 133. Let's just read what the prophet had to say. Paragraph above 132, just the last part of it, and you read all of it, but I just read this part. It's the way it was in Egypt, and God never did deal with Israel till she come to her homeland. Now, we heard that over and over and over, hadn't we? But listen to what he said. Hear me, paragraph 133, hear me, thus saith the Lord, God will not deal with his church till she comes back to the homeland. The message of the hour. Now, that's what your prophet said. He said, it's thus saith the Lord. Come back to the original. Now, listen to what he says. Get away from your Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian ideas. Your Pentecostal assemblies, oneness, threeness, and fiveness, and whatever it is. Church of God, Nazarene, Pilgrim Holiness, Church of Christ. All Antichrist movements. Now he just said, thus saith the Lord. Well, Brother Taylor, I'm not in the Baptist. I'm not in the Presbyterian, the Pentecostals or the Catholics. I'm in the message. That was what I was trying to get you to see. Daniel was still 2 years hung up in Babylon. We've been 40 years hung up in denominational ideas. What do you mean?
See, maybe I should stop right there and preach all night on what each one of those things are. Because for some reason he gave each one of them. You know, just say Baptist. Well, we got the Holy Ghost when we believe. We believe the message. We're born with eternal life. We don't have to worry about it. What about that idea? Pentecostal. Well, it don't make no difference. It's what my spirit tells me. The Lord told me and I believe it. Don't make no difference what... Oh, don't make no difference what the Word says. You see what I'm talking about? You could stop on each thing and you could take each one of them. Because that's what's wrong with you and me. The reason we've been 40 years is because of our denominational ideas. The prophet said, I see only one thing. that's hindering the coming of the Lord? He said, outside the redness of the bride. That's the only thing, he said, you see. But see, why? When are we going to believe him? Now watch, he goes on. And I realize that strikes the world. All wrong. All of the devil. Oh my. There is godly men in every one of them. There's godly people in every one of them movements. But the organization in itself is not of God, and God will never bless it. He never has done it. Now, what good would it do to have our ideas? See, we can't afford to have them anymore. There might have been a day when God winked at our ignorance. But he doesn't wink anymore. He commands that all men repent. What kind of a denominational idea has been holding me and you? Brother Branham, I believe it's Feast of the Trumpets, I was telling you the other day, he said the Holy Ghost had been bound for 2,000 years at the door of creeds and dogmas. But said he'd be loosed by the end time message. Well, where are we at? But Brother Dale, Brother so-and-so has a right to believe what he wants to believe. Now that's in the Constitution. But that's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible now that you have a right to believe what you want to believe. It's in the Constitution of the United States. Of course, you know they're vastly changing that. You're getting in trouble with what you believe pretty quick. So then they must not believe their own laws that it's okay to. But the Bible never has given us the right to believe what we want to believe. That's why I said about Daniel. Daniel put everything he had on what Jeremiah had said before him. It didn't make no difference what was coming or going. He put it right on there. But see, where we can't do a lot of times, you know, in depending upon things, is we come up with the wrong idea. Like, for instance, and watch what I'm saying, that you'll try to get the point of why I'm trying to dwell on the fact that Daniel wasn't concerned with two or 68 or two to try to figure something out that way. Do you know that God in the Bible told Noah to go into the ark? And you know what he told him? He said it'll rain in 7 days. But he got in the ark and it didn't rain. It was after the time God had seemingly directed the exact time for it to be. So maybe we really don't know what we're talking about. You know? But I've got what the Bible says. But was God wrong there in telling Noah when it was going to rain, and it didn't rain that day? Go talk to him about it. The point of what I'm trying to get you to see is, it's not trying to figure out, you know, 68 and 2 makes 70. That's easy to calculate. Daniel wanted to know how to get his people ready. And it wasn't to just wait around and then go out and say, okay, we'll put out a newspaper. Week after next, we're going out. That wasn't his purpose or point. He wanted to get the people ready for going out. Brother Branham wasn't concerned about day or time. What was he concerned about? Getting you and I ready to get out of here. Well, if I just known it. If we just knowed, Brother Dale.
If we could just figure out them days and times and seasons, we'd know exactly.
What good would it do to know the bus schedule if you don't have your ticket? You know what? Brother Pekash, one time he's telling me, he said, "Brother Dale, I need to go to the bus depot and leave out." He said, "There's one in Gainesville." I said, "No, sir, they closed that one down." I said, "There's not one in Gainesville. I'll take it to Athens." They didn't say anything. I took him to Athens. Took him to the bus depot. Because they'd moved to one in Gainesville. It was, as far as I knew, it wasn't in existence anymore. Next time he was there, I said, "Well, we'll get up in the morning. We'll take you down to Athens to the bus." He said, "Brother Dale, there's a bus station in Gainesville." I said, "Brother Pekash, I know where it was, and it's not there." I said, "It was down at the train station. The bus depot and the train ticket place were the same thing." I said, "No, right where it was, it's not there." He said, it's in Gainesville." I said, "Well, I don't know nothing about it." He said, "Well, here's the telephone number, call and see." You know what I found out? It was in Gainesville. You know, I'd haul him to Athens and there's one in Gainesville. See, he knowed not only about the bus depot, because I know there was a bus depot at Gainesville at one time, if you understand my point. But I didn't know they'd moved it to another place and it was still up there. I thought they'd put it out of business. See, but he knowed it was still in existence. He was concerned with getting out of Georgia and he didn't want to have to drive to Athens. Are you getting the point? Daniel wasn't concerned about 2 years. He was concerned about getting out and getting the people ready to get out. Are we ready to get out of here? Are we ready to leave? Are we ready to accept the fact that if we left today and our kids wouldn't save, that they wouldn't make the rapture? But Brother Dale, I'm trying to get you to think about something. Are we trying to figure out what the message is, or trying to get the message inside of us to let it live? But I can quote some. Amen. But we don't have a right to think. Brother Brown said that's what Eve said. "I think." And he said that caused everything that's happened to be wrong, was her thinking. I've got a right to think what I want to. That's the Constitution. That's not the Bible. We have no right whatsoever except to believe what this prophet has said unto us. And the only way we're going to get out of here is to take what he says. And when he says the bride goes up in Revelation 4:1 and is not seen until 19:21, but Brother Dale, 10:7, look at it. See? I've been through these for 30 or 40 years now, arguing with people about things like that. But look at that, Revelation 10:7. The prophet said the bride goes up, Revelation 4:1. Don't come back until 19:21. But yeah, we got it all figured out. We know all about it. But do we? Do we know about it? We read Sunday, paragraph 24, Gabriel's instructions to Daniel, where Brother Brown said this was one most important scripture. And he said this was one most important scripture. But what do we do? He goes on right in the same paragraph and he says, if you want to know the day of the week, look at the calendar. But he said, if you want to know what the time is, he said, look to the Jews. You know, there's no problem with knowing when God will turn to the Jews. You know when he turns to the Jews? The day we go in the rapture. That's no problem. That's why Brother Branham could say it. We'll get to it later. He said 1977 and 70 Jubilee. Since the beginning of Jubilees, according to Leviticus 25:8. He said, what will it be? He said, it'd be going up with the Gentile bride and return of Christ to the Jews when they go out of bondage. He put it all together. Because when we step out of here, God goes right to Israel. The day we leave, he's heading to Israel. So it better be us that's worried about when we're leaving and not trying to figure out what Daniel was talking about. But to find out when we're going to get out of here and be ready. But we're not going out of here with our denominational ideas. But Gabriel came to Daniel to show him when he was going out of bondage. All right? But not only that, Gabriel showed Daniel from there all the way of the destination. That's paragraph 30, sixfold purpose of his coming. We read it Sunday. Showing the entire destination of the nation Israel. What about a man praying for to know when to go out and what to do, and he's told the whole thing from there to the end of that nation? If you go read in there, you'll find Brother Branham, he brings it down. He says, what about it? He said, Solomon. He said, Solomon prayed for wisdom. He said he didn't want riches. He said he became the wisest man on earth at the time. Why? Because God came to Solomon and gave him wisdom. Do we want to know about the future, or can we... We need to know about the present. Now, because we're fixing to hit something, because I got to get this out of the way before I can go into the sixfold purpose Sunday, and we'll draw it out and try to take each purpose. And like, you know, make an end of sin, bring an everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision, anoint the most holy, etc. And we'll try to let Brother Branham place that right together and to see what it all is. But let me ask you a question. Do you believe what the prophet said? Don't raise your hand, just leave it alone. I'm just asking you the question. Well, sure. We believe what he said. On Daniel's 70 weeks in the book, he said there was 1 week left. He got over later in Conduct, Order, and Doctrine. He says, no, nay. You misunderstood. But do we believe the prophet? Now listen, this is on later, but the prophet said all prophecy, that's in Daniel 70 weeks, all prophecy is given in parables, scriptures, see? It's parables. Now he didn't say half the Bible is parables, the other half plain language. He said all of it's in parables. See, that's why it took a prophet to understand. We couldn't even get water baptism correct. Come on, right? We couldn't get water baptism correct until the prophet came. A simple thing that the prophet said, you don't even need a revelation to understand water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we couldn't get that correct. Church, you and I had better depend upon what this prophet had to say. Because if we don't, we're in bad shape. Now, we can't depend on half of it. You know, what we want to believe, we can't do it. All right? Now, when we leave out of here, and Israel comes into view, you know that there's two different groups of people you're dealing with? You're dealing with Israel as a nation. And things will take place. But you're dealing with 144,000, which is the chosen of Israel. And even natural Israel, that is a nation, the people will kill the 144,000. I don't understand. That's jumbling to me. Do you know that Israel as a nation, after the rapture, will go back to making daily sacrifices? They're trying their best to get ready now. All they need is that red heifer and things. They'll go back making natural sacrifices. But do you believe the 144,000 will make offer sheep and goats? No, they're not going to offer sheep and goats because they know who the real atonement is. Right? So now what are you dealing with? So when Brother Randall says Israel, what are you dealing with? See, without that being revealed to you, you'll overlay those two. And when you do, you got the 144,000 going back to offering sheep and goats. When they won't do it. So you got to understand. I know this one thing has been so hard to get people to understand. It's one little simple point. And I've tried ever since I've been in this message to see it, because I saw it when I was in the Baptist church. And when I came in this message and saw what the prophet was really saying about it, then I understood what I used to think was right. Did you understand what I said? I said I understood what I used to think was right. Because all it was just my thinking. You know there wasn't anybody in the Old Testament born again? Because the kingdom hadn't come into view? The kingdom hadn't come into view. Jesus Christ hadn't died. But Jesus stood there and said, if you believe on me, you've got eternal life. Ooh. Now what are you doing, Brother Dale? I'm trying to show you that all Scripture is in parables. And without that parable correctly understood, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm trying to get you serious enough to start praying to understand. But Brother Dale, you just confuse me when I hear you preach. Well, it evidently must not, you must not have much confidence in what you believe. I've heard people preach error before, it never did confuse me. I've heard everything from the two souls, the seven thunder virtues, the parousias, the polygamies, I've heard all of it taught. Didn't confuse me. I've heard the 70 weeks of Daniel taught and all that. Didn't confuse me. Well, you're just stubborn. Amen. I'm stubborn. What's your excuse? We done declared what I am. What's your problem? See, I don't have no problem with it. Because when I know what I'm talking about, then I don't have no problem. When I don't know what I'm talking about, it's when I got problems. But now listen. Do you believe that when the millennium comes, there's going to be a temple erected on earth? Do you believe that? That there'll be a temple erected on earth in the millennium. The prophet even calls it a new city. What do you need a temple for in the millennium? That's what I've heard other people. We're the temple. Well, what about when the prophet said we was the anointing to the temple? Now what are you going to do with it? See, church, what I'm trying to get you and I to think about is to really think about, hey, we don't know nothing. Is that all right? Is that okay for me to try to do that with us? To get us to realize we don't know nothing? And we've got to depend upon this message. We've got to depend upon the Holy Spirit to correctly interpret this message unto us. It is not just because the prophet has said it. Because the prophet can't interpret anything to you. What he said. He said it takes the Holy Ghost to interpret it. All right. Let's just read just a little bit. Paragraph 30, sixfold purpose. Let's just see what the prophet had to say about something that has been confusing in a lot of people's minds. Paragraph 30. Yeah. This is one I just quoted, but we'll read it. While in prayer, Gabriel came and told him that there was not only two more years before they were going back to the homeland, but told him the entire destination of that nation. Think of it, the entire destination. Every journey of earth. Gabriel explained it to Daniel. Said he was sent to tell Daniel this great thing. How that prophet must have felt. And he told him that there were 70 weeks determined upon the people unto the consummation. That's the end time. So it's all over. The consummation said there's 70 weeks. All right. Drop over to paragraph 34. You read all in between. And listen to this when they're careful. And we do understand that city, which has now been a curse for 2,000 years, will be rebuilt and reestablished again. Listen. The temple worship will be set up. Listen. Just like it was in the beginning. Now, how was the temple worship set up in the beginning? If you go to the natural temple, you're coming to sheep and goats. So now listen. That's right.
Jerusalem will be. Now, and there will be a sacrifice. A daily oblation offered again, just like it was in the beginning. We're going to get into most of that, I guess, into a lot of that. Your prophet said there'd be a temple reconstructed. He said there would be a sacrifice just like in the beginning. He said there'd be an oblation. A time. But Brother Dale, you mean we're going back to sheep and goats? Look at paragraph 118. This is sixfold purpose of Gabriel's visit to Daniel. What is the most holy? To my way of seeing it, which I believe I can prove it by the scripture, is to anoint the most holy, which will be the tabernacle that'll be used during the millennium. Now listen. See why I get it? Described in Ezekiel, the 43rd chapter, 1st and 6th verse. Let's go back to Ezekiel and find out how he pictures in the millennium. You're talking about in the millennium, right? How they will anoint. Ezekiel 43, let's just read a little bit here now and see what he's going to do in this millennium. He's talking about a temple erected in a tabernacle in the millennium. In Ezekiel 43, alright, let's begin with the first to the sixth verse. You can read the whole thing after you get home. Of course, you that's putting it down, Ezekiel 43. Afterwards, paragraph 119. Now watch, description of the temple that is to be built in the millennium. Any reader that knows that from Ezekiel the 40th chapter until the 44th chapter is nothing in the world but the millennium temple being erected on earth. A millennium temple erected in the millennium on earth. Well, what do we need a millennium temple for? See, that's what I know. People of the message, then they become so spiritual, they totally deny what the prophet said. Then they want to spiritualize everything. And I just don't understand what in the world are you talking about. It'll come to you one day and then you'll realize what I'm talking about. I've been here before, so it doesn't bother me to know that it sounds like it's confusing. That's what I want it to sound tonight. So that you'll go home and think about it and say, God, that man so confused me tonight, I don't even know where in the world I'm at. Brother Dale, you a preacher would want to do that? Because as long as you think you're right and you're not right, what good is it? That's your denominational ideas, is when you think you're right and you won't accept nothing else contrary to that. No matter what anybody says or does, you will not take anything contrary to it because that's your denominational idea. The prophet says there'll be a millennium temple erected on earth from Ezekiel 40 to 44. Gives you the very scriptures. You know the prophet said there'll be things in the millennium that won't be in the future home? Things in the millennium won't be in the future home.
You know that the millennium, I'll cover this when we get on way on later. You know the millennium is really not to you and I. That's just a honeymoon. The millennium is to the Jews. It's the promise to the Jews. It's the promise that David would sit on the throne for 1,000 years and rule. And his son would sit there, you know, Solomon, but Solomon never reached that position. Because it was the promise to the Messiah, which is Christ, the son of David. You know, the prophet even covers in the millennium that Israel will be back exactly in tribal order. And you know, there was originally to be, and I'm quoting Brother Branham, there was originally to be 13 tribes. But when Dan and Ephraim went after the golden calves, they were taken out. And the two sons of Joseph was placed in. And when it did, Levi became pulled out and put back into the tribes to make it right. To make it and come out with 12 tribes. But it was originally to have been 13 tribes. I'm quoting Brother Branham out of the Church Age book. Because it was originally to have been the Levite was to stay in the middle. But instead of that, he had to be pulled out and made a part of the tribes where it would work. But the prophet said in the millennium, they'll be back in tribal order. It's Israel in the millennium. Brother Dale, now in the millennium, okay? Now let's see if you can understand what I'm saying. When the rapture takes place to the bride, Israel as a nation will go back to making daily sacrifices. But the 144,000 will be called out of that, and they won't make no natural sacrifice. They'll know who their sacrifice really is. Right? So that shows you what will happen in the millennium. In the millennium, it won't be offering sheep and goats because there ain't going to be no death in the millennium. So there won't be no sacrifices in the millennium. Well, the prophet just said, go ahead and do what you want to. Because I've just laid down something in front of you that you didn't know. You just trapped your own self when you agreed. When you agreed that Israel as a natural nation would offer sacrifices in the tribulation, but the 144,000 wouldn't. Don't backtrack yourself now. Keep going. Because in the millennium, there won't be any sheep and goat sacrifices, because there won't be any sacrifices whatsoever offered in the millennium. But there will be a millennium temple. A whole lot more beautiful than the one Solomon built. Erected right here on earth. You say, what for? For a promise. Because God promised it and said it would be there. Back in Genesis it said, the day you eat thereof, that day you die. Methuselah lived the longest of any man on earth, 969 years, right? But no man ever lived 1,000 years on earth. The millennium is a time to prove that the curse is gone. You're going to get 1,000 years on earth of a millennial time, and we're going to rule and reign with Him. The heathen, according to the Church Age book, is even going to be brought in there in the millennium. So get it all straight now. In the millennium, there won't be no sacrifice. He is our sacrifice. Where do you get the authority to make that statement? Because of all of the layout of that prophet's message has brought it down to where I can say it. Whether you believe it or not. But let's hear you explain it. Well, we don't have to explain it. We just believe it. Believe what? To believe that you're going to the millennium and offer sheep and goats? There won't be any death in the millennium. So we got to get it straight. A temple will be built. And you and I will be the anointing to that temple. Just like it was anointed back there in the Old Testament when the temple was built. But in the rebuilding of the temple, they didn't anoint it again. Have you read your Bible? Because the temple had already been anointed. They just reconstructed the temple. You see, in the millennium, they're going to reconstruct a beautiful temple. You say, what's the purpose of the temple? For the fulfillment of the Word. But you and I are just going to be there on the honeymoon, riding around with the honeymoon. We're not going to be, you know, we ain't going to be building. They're going to be building houses. They're going to be building all kind of things in the millennium. And just remember this, and you'd understand the 70 weeks of Daniel in a hurry then. That we're the last thing that happens when we come back in the millennium to anoint the temple. So you better believe then that this, when we get through it Sunday and tie it all together, then you'll be able to see that those 70 weeks has got to wind up in the millennium. That's where people can't understand Brother Branham. They thought he had the same idea as all the denominations. That there was 3.5 years of minor tribulation and 3.5 years of major. That's a denominational teaching. That's what your Baptists taught. I know that, and I come in the message. I know what they taught. They taught 3.5 years of minor tribulation, 3.5 years of major. Go get your videos now and look at them, Left Behind. Go get all these videos that you've got that they're making and see if they ain't all making it that way. That there's a group of people goes off the earth, but there's another group of people that can be saved that's left here. Or get them and listen to what really the denominational teaching is, 3.5 years of minor and 3.5 years major. They say the bride will be here. Now, this is the denominational teaching of Daniel 70 weeks. They say there's 1 week left, and the bride will be here, the church, the bride, will be here for the first 3.5 years of that minor tribulation. And then she'll be gone, and there'll be a major tribulation. The prophet never taught it like that. He said there's only 3.5 years to the tribulation. You say, well, I just don't. Like the prophet said, if you can't understand these things, you can't understand the seals. And where you're at, left in your hands. See, I've tried to just illustrate something to you. If God don't reveal to you what the prophet has taught to you, it's no good. But I just believe it because he said it. Well, amen. Daniel believed Jeremiah had said it. Why was he concerned? He believed Jeremiah had said they would be there 70 years. He'd been there 68. He knew that. He knew there were two left. Why was he concerned? Because he wanted to be ready to go out. And he knew that that would be something that he would need a personal contact from God. And he got that. His desires brought on the scene Almighty God. Just as it did, if you go back and tie all the scripture together, that when you go back there and find that Job's desires, his longing, his prayers and all, brought God on the scene. Have we prayed through, as I said Sunday, to where that God has come on the scene to reveal Himself? See, that's where I stood in 1974. And I told you it could pass 77 and go on into 2026. And not break Brother Ram's message. But nobody don't want to hear that. Nobody don't want to hear that. I've never been asked, well, why would you even think that? I've just been ridiculed as a know-it-all. But we're here. Why don't you go back and tell your pastor, say, what was you teaching in 77? And you'll find out 99.99% of them was teaching the rapture was going to come in 1977. And I stood alone trying to get people to see that I was wanting it to come in 74.
I wanted it to come in 70. I wanted it to come in 71, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I wanted it to come. But according to the prophet, people had totally missed it. Because it was made known to me by books. Whose books? The Bible and the prophet's message. Had made known. And I believed it. Trying to get you to see what? Who would have ever thought a millennium temple would ever be erected on earth? What? I can just hear it now. I know I'll get a lot of feedback on this. I expect it. I'll let Joseph answer you. We got a kick out of that because I can't type and do those. And I just tell Joseph, here, type this back to him. Brother the other day said, I'll send you an email. I said, good, Joseph will answer you. Because I can't type it out. But listen, folks. To even talk about a millennium temple built on earth, I've heard people talk about that a long time ago. Oh, we're the temple. What do we need a temple for in the millennium? Because the Bible said there'd be a temple in the millennium. But see, our denominational ideas will not let us settle down long enough to believe God's Word. And thereby we've got it all figured out. We spiritualize it. We're in the temple. And like I told Brother Gary, when you spiritualize that, all God was, He poured into Christ. And all Christ He poured into the church. Oh, they spiritualize that. You put all God in Christ and you ain't got no God left. Then you put all of God into Christ, you got no God. Then you, when you put all of Christ into the church, you ain't got no God nor Christ, neither one left. All you got's a church left. See, but everybody's so spiritual. But don't realize and don't even analyze what they're saying. But the argument is whether it's 3.5 or 7. And then like I told you, the brother said, well, we'll just put it together and make it 7 and 3.5, and that's 10.5. And boy, he was spiritual. And it was Brother Branham's son that said that. So you know how spiritual he was at that time. I know what he was doing. He was just making a statement back to people in their comments. But brother and sister, you know that Brother Branham said, if we can get Daniel 70 weeks figured out correctly, we'll know exactly when the Lord's coming. Did you read that? Did you read where he said we'd know exactly when the Lord's coming? Now I'll lay this down for Sunday where you think about it. You know, isn't it an odd situation? I don't mean that. I'm saying it's not odd. I'm saying it's exactly Bible. But there's a sixfold purpose for Daniel coming, Gabriel coming to Daniel. A sixfold purpose. Isn't it odd that there were six seals to be revealed to the Gentile dispensational bride? Isn't it odd that the sixfold purpose of Daniel would show the destiny totally of the whole nation, as I just quoted to you a moment ago, that from the time back there all the way to the millennium? And isn't it odd that in the six seals that Brother Branham covers the entire journey of mankind upon earth? Like I said, isn't it odd that Michael, which was Christ, came to Gabriel's aid to where Gabriel could come to Daniel? Isn't it odd that Brother Branham, that Christ took over and made a way that there could be an angel come to Brother Branham and speak to him personally? And he said it was a man, just like Gabriel was a man. But the Bible said he was a man. Well, how could he be a man? See? Get your ideas all whooped up good. Why don't you just believe what the prophet said, that he was a man?
You know, none of us wasn't in that place there to where the man come down to Brother Branham. We got to all believe what Brother Branham said about it. And then people argue about, that couldn't have been a man come to Brother Branham. Well, how in the world do you know? You wouldn't dare. Is that blunt enough? You wouldn't dare. But yet you can tell all about something that a prophet told us it was a man. But yet we're so spiritual. Listen, there was a sixfold purpose. In his coming. Daniel, I'm going to show you all the way to the millennium temple that will be erected on earth. And I'm telling you, it's going to take 70 weeks to do that. Well, how are you going to figure that out in dates and times? Because 70 weeks later would have been what? 70 weeks from the time Daniel said that? How far would that have been? A year and something? 470 times 7, 490? 490 years later, if you want to even go that away? Well, see, it doesn't make any difference that God broke that up and only gave a part back there and left a part for the end. And so wonderfully blinded his own people. To where we could come in. Blinded them that you and I could come in. But you know what? He's going to turn around and he's going to open the eyes one day. But there's a fifth seal Jew that doesn't get her eyes opened while she's in the world. She gets her eyes opened at a later date and realizes what took place. What a wonderful story you and I have heard. Israel gets the plan of redemption. We get the plan of redemption. What God told Daniel showed Daniel all the way until Israel come in the millennium. The worst when she'll be there. What God showed you and I through the prophet didn't stop there. It shows us all the way to the future home. Because see, in the future home, it's not going to be a Jewish nation. I invite you to find it. There is no speaking of Israel as a nation in the future home. I didn't say they wouldn't be there. Come on. I didn't say they wouldn't be there. So go accuse me of that. I didn't say that. I just said there's no mention of them any further than the millennium. Because in the future home, it's going to be the future home just like the future home is in you. You know what I'm saying? The new birth in your heart. The new birth in your heart, Brother Dick, brings you eternal life. There's no Dick Addison left. There ain't no Jew nor Gentile left. In the new birth, it's the body of Christ. In the future home, it's going to be the city and the bride to perfectly fit the city. And Israel can only fit into what's called as nations. That the prophet said the nations would come in and take the leaf off the trees. Because there's no place there for her to be called wife. See, church, there's a long ways to go. There's a lot of things to Daniel 70 weeks that people just wants to know. Oh, is it 3.5 or is it 7? It's a revelation. It's a revelation of the plan of redemption. What puts the Jews in the millennium, the same revelation will put the bride in the rapture. And then she'll be in the millennium.
because it's the plan of redemption. Now, I'm going to make this statement, then we'll pick up Sunday. Then God does not come to Gabriel to redeem Israel. I'm letting you think. He doesn't come to Daniel to show Daniel redemption. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't come to do it. He comes to reveal. He comes to reveal to Daniel all the way. You know that Israel was totally redeemed at Calvary? But you know it's never been applied? Is that right? Wouldn't apply to Israel. It'd be applied to Israel when we go out of here in the rapture. That's why she's got that gap is in between and that bride and the rapture comes and you're drawing to prophet made. But listen, church, let me quote you one I just read two times today out of the Daniel 70 weeks book. Don't boast in what you are. You better boast in the roots. You know the roots of this whole church is Jewish. Our roots are Jewish. We better not boast only in the roots. You know that Brother Brown said we got to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost from the roots. If you got time, I will find it. I'll thumb through the book and find it. The baptism of the Holy Ghost comes from the roots. Because it came to Israel first. The Holy Ghost never fell on the Gentiles first. The Holy Ghost fell on Israel first on the day of Pentecost. There wasn't any Gentiles there. You know, upper room experience. But then he opened the doors to the Gentiles because it was going to be a Gentile dispensation. What a wonderful thing to think about, that God would blind his own children. Kept them from seeing it where you and I could receive it. I know a lot of people blinded their own selves. But God blinded Israel, fifth sealed you, where you and I could be saved. And yet we think we're something. Yet we've turned against Israel. And our judgment is waiting upon the nation of America because we did turn against it. We've turned against Israel. Now look at all around the world what's taking place. The church, listen, there's a sixfold purpose, or the reason for coming to Daniel was to show Daniel the future. That was the reason for coming to Daniel. The reason for his coming was to show Daniel the future. But it was in a parable. So being in a parable, it would take a prophet to understand it. And only he would know what he's talking about. The Holy Ghost is the prophet in the end time church to reveal to us what God is talking about. Brother Brown's wife said, Bill, there's no way we can understand that. He said, God will make a way. He has through the Holy Spirit into our hearts. See, that's why I wish I could in some way, I wish I could jog you so hard until you would go to your knees and you wouldn't get up until you prayed, until you found out what God is doing in the last day. Until you wouldn't turn, you wouldn't move to the right or left until you found out. But can you stir the people?
stir you to think, stir you to pray. Come on. Come on, boy. See, think on these things. That a sixfold purpose is going to be revealed. There's six seals to reveal the entire plan of redemption. Because whatever puts us in the millennium will put them in the millennium. You know what they're going to get when we leave out of here? A revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother Brown going through there and right in the first of the book, notice what he says, the first of the Daniel 70 weeks book. Notice what he says. He said, see Revelations 4, said we see that's a, you know, the going up of the church. He said Revelations 5 shows how he done it. Read. It shows how he done it, the revelation of his name, the things, the one God and all. See, that's how he's redeemed you and me, is by revelation. If we knew the exact day that we were leaving, we would be no more than those people were in 1919 or 14 or what it was when they went and got their wings and made them, went up on a hill and sat down. At the end of the day, they came down with wet wings. See, they had it all figured out. But Brother Branham says in Daniel 70, he said, I can show you what happened in 1919. He said that was when the third angel struck the earth. The woes. And what is the third angel? Justification was the first. Sanctification was the next. What is the third? The baptism of the Holy Ghost, the message of the hour, going right on. He said that's when that took place. You said, well, but Brother Banner wouldn't need preaching it. No, but the oneness was already bringing the message. The Holy Ghost had done fell on the deaf on Azusa Street. And the one that's done picked up and started preaching. He said, that's when that third angel struck the earth. Amen. Well, I can't just... See, that's what I'm saying. You say, I can't see how that could be. See, because you don't want to believe what the prophet said. That's why we're in bondage. Come on, let's stand. Go ahead. 194 in the red book. Pray that God will speak to your heart. And it'll open to you what the prophet has already said. And you'll see the very day that we're living. The very moment we go out of here, God will turn to Israel. Then that's not a mystery, is it? It's just getting us out of here. Israel's awakening. The signs in the Bible foretold. The Gentile days number with horrors uncumbered. Eternity soon will unfold. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up. Your redemption is here. Victory is growing. Jerusalem's restoring. The national life of peace. Look over there now. The whole world is trying to push her to a place. Something's going to happen one day. She's going to stop being pushed. But it's got to be because the Bible said it. See, God don't deal in our ways of thinking. God is over there dealing with Israel to bring her to the homeland. But He's dealing with you and I to bring us to the message of the hour. He's not dealing with them in salvation. He's dealing with bringing them and getting them ready. But to us, it's salvation. Look up. Your redemption is near. Are lying and men are denying that Jesus the Christ is our God. This generation burns God's revelation. We'll walk with Him. Walking in the Word. To see the end of all things. A millennium temple to be erected on earth. I want to see it, don't you? But see, everybody tries to figure out some way to do away with everything. Why can't we just accept what the prophet said? But then we take the point of saying, we know this won't be because of this. And then people said, you're trying to figure it out. There won't be a daily sacrifice in the millennium of sheep and goats. Because there ain't going to be no death in the millennium. But we'll see our real sacrifice. We'll know who He is. They'll know who He is. And they'll see Him. That's just like Leviticus. You got a mourning for the kill. Leviticus 16 is you got a mourning for the kill, you know. But about 23rd of that is not a mourning for the kill. It's a revealing of the Christ. When you're reading what the prophet said, stop and read that scripture that he's given you. He's given you his answer right there. He's telling you why. As we'll pick up Sunday, so read the sixfold purpose. He tells you why there's got to be an end of sin. Why there's got to be an everlasting righteousness. He said, look at the sin of Israel when they said, let His blood be on us. And it's been on there ever since. The poor old people that tried nothing to do but one thing, and that served Jehovah God, and has been persecuted to the world. But you see, it was because they turned down Jehovah God when He was standing there. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want it revealed, Lord. Revelation is what we need. High and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. Do you? The prophet said, when you see the Word, you're seeing Jesus. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see my, hurt my shins and legs. I heard a brother testifying a while ago about the Lord. He's here to take away this problem from me. If it hadn't been for him, it would have been more dangerous. But now we want the pain and the problem away, don't we? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Thank you for being with our brother to keep it from being so bad. Because it surely could have been a terrible thing. So now come on the scene. Take away the pain and the problem. Let your love be there in Jesus' name. Holy, holy. Anybody else?
Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see.
Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Father, we ask you to reach down and touch our sister and take away this problem with her legs. We believe you, Father. We thank you. We know that by your stripes our sister is healed. So we do what the Word says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just believe it, sis. Anybody else? Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love. Sing, holy, holy, holy.
I am lifted up.
Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love. We sing, holy, holy. Father, our little buddy has a special need, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Father, to just come on the scene. Speak to our little buddy's heart, Father, and let him know that everything has to be in you. So whatever he has need of, it has to be that he depends upon you, Lord. We ask you to come on the scene. But only you can supply the needs of anyone. Only you can be the answer to our little buddy's questions or thoughts. We just ask you, Father, to reach down and touch him now in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want you. I want to see. Listen, church. I had one purpose in the message tonight. For to get you to see that maybe a lot of times we don't know what we're talking about. But to know and to realize we've got to believe what the prophet said, no matter if it don't sound correct. You know. Even though maybe it don't sound like what it ought to be. But we've got to believe what he said. Because without him, how would we know anything? Without this message, how would we know anything whatsoever? Oh, sleep and go. Lord, you are more beautiful. Isn't he beautiful? The thing I desire compares to. One more time before we go home. You are more precious than silver. Is he? Lord, you are more costly than gold. What is he? Lord, you are more beautiful than God, and nothing I desire compares
Father, Lord, you are more beautiful, more precious than anything we could ever think of. And Lord, we depend totally upon you, because some of the things that's been said to us in the end time, Lord, it's hard to understand. But yet you promised that we would understand. They that know their God. And truly, Lord, this message has brought God to each and every one of us. And doing that, it's opened your word. Because, Lord Jesus, we know that these things have been sealed up until the end time. But now it's promised to be revealed. Revealed to a little bride that would stand on the earth and believe it and accept it. Just bless and guide each one, Lord, now. As we go our separate ways going home, let your love, Lord, be with each one. Give a safe journey. We love you and we want to walk in you. Keep us in Jesus' name. Let's pray one for another. Remember, Wade and June be gone for the weekend. Pray that the Lord will bless you. Some of the others are traveling. Just pray that the Lord would be with each one. But there's one thing for sure. Make sure if you miss any of these services in this message, please go back and listen to it. You know, if you're missing it, please go and listen to it. Because it'll be very needful when we get to the end. Child of sorrow.